Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and love toward us. Thank you for your grace that is working in our lives. Thank you for your power that is giving us victories and breakthroughs and protection and deliverances. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the doors that you have opened for us to move forward and to succeed and to become the person you have placed us in this earth to be. Thank you, Father. We thank you for many things you have taught us in this place, from this platform. And thank you for giving us the right heart, the right mind to receive your teachings and to do them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us to yield to correction, especially when you correct us from your scriptures. Thank you, Lord. We are here in this place once again because we want to grow spiritually, because we want to know you more. We want to know your ways more. We want to know your will more. We want to know your word more. I ask that you manifest yourself to everyone that have joined this class. Father, do it now in Jesus' name. Let everyone live with an understanding and wisdom and knowledge that will transform their lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do beyond our request. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue from where we stopped during the last Bible study class. Before we continue, I want every one of you here to invite others to join the Bible study classes. It's a kind of evangelism on your part. Yeah, it's an evangelism on your part. I mean, everyone will record it as an evangelism. The reason is because once you invite them, they are going to hear the truth from the Word of God that is able to lead them to repentance and make them become saved eventually. So even if they are unbelievers, even if they are not Christians, invite them to Bible study class. Yeah, so I want every one of you here to take note of it. If you want to write it down somewhere so that you won't forget, write it down and say, before next Tuesday, I'm going to invite I'm going to invite someone to join the Bible study class. Yeah, so it's a kind of evangelism. Yeah, because when you invite them, they are going to come and hear the truth that is able to save their souls and also revive and restore them. Yeah, so it's not a good thing that we are just few every time we come here, we come for this meeting. Yeah, it's not a good thing. We are supposed to be more here, even than the prayer sessions. Yeah, and I realize that if we don't do anything about it, God will not do anything too. Yeah, if you don't really care about the numerical growth of this ministry, that is, if we that are in this ministry, we don't really care about more people joining this platform to know God more, to learn from Jesus, and to be prepared for heaven. If we that are in the ministry are not taking it serious, then God will also not take it serious. Yeah, because God wants to see how much you really value this ministry. And how he will show it is by bringing others to come and hear what you have been hearing. Yeah, to come and be taught the things, the teachings. The same teachings you are being taught here. Yeah. So I just feel like to let you know. I pray that the Lord will help you to follow this instruction. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to continue from where we stopped. We have been talking on backsliding for some time now. Yeah, we have really been talking on backsliding. And I have mentioned many things. We have looked at many topics. Yeah. We have looked at several topics. Today we are going to move to another topic. Yeah, before I used to ask questions based on the last classes. I may start to do that again. So make sure that you still jot things down. Yeah. I believe you understand my point. Make sure you still write things down as I teach. Yeah, even if I don't put the teaching in form of several subtopics, points, you just keep picking the points from my teachings. I mean from my teaching. Pick the point, write it down, and then write. You can write the Bible, you can first of all write, it depends on how you don't. You can write the Bible verse first, and then everything I said in that Bible verse or concerning that Bible verse or verses, then write them under that verse. Everything that I said, yeah, write them down. And then if I mention another Bible verse, write down the Bible verse, and then everything I said under it, write them down. Yeah, so it will help you to grow because you can always go back to what the things you have jotted down, and then you can always remember my voice while you are looking at your jottings. The name, if that English is correct. I mean, while you are looking at the things you have written down. Yeah. you will be remembering my voice. Yeah, and it will help you to grow. So now we are moving into another topic. Yeah, but it's very short. So I think after this topic, we're going to continue. We're going to move to point two. Yeah, don't forget that we have been on point one all this while. Point one is danger signs that lead to losing faith. So all the topics I have been teaching you all this while, they are under point one. Yeah, so we are likely to move to point two today because the topic we are moving into now is very short. Yeah, so another danger sign of losing faith, or danger sign that leads to losing faith, is a lack of the fear of God. A lack of the fear of God. So when the fear of God is missing, then you are backsliding already, or you are about to backslide. So once you no longer fear God, you are falling away already. And what does it mean to fear God? It's simple. It means fear God. Yeah. Dread Him. Yeah. Like the way many of us usually do. I don't know about people in the Western countries. Yeah, but in Africa, children used to be very afraid of their parents. Yeah, there is this fear that we used to have for our parents. Yeah, such that if your dad tells you and say, don't ever touch that thing. Maybe he placed something at the corner of the room. And then he said, I must not see you touch that thing. Yeah, if you dare touch it, I'll deal with you. Yeah. So now, as a child, maybe you found that thing very attractive, and then you want to, and then something is saying, go and touch it. But then you remember the words of your dad that says, if you dare touch that thing, I will deal with you. Now, immediately you remember those words, you stand still. And then you remember how your dad always deal with you, especially how he would flog you with cane. Yeah. So immediately you know, that child will refuse to touch the thing. Yeah, that is an example of fear. Yeah, it's an example of how we should fear God. Yeah, and then another one is, let's say somehow that child eventually touched the thing, and the touch of the child created a mark on that thing that shows that someone have touched it. Yeah, even though the father or the dad was not around when he, you know, when the child touched the thing. Yeah, but because of the nature of the thing, the father said, don't touch. That thing could show a mark or a sign that someone have touched it. And then the father came, let's say the father come back from work in the evening, and then he looked at that thing. I said, oh, this boy that I said should not touch this thing, has touched it. Yeah, so the father will be able to know that through that sign on the thing, you'll be able to know that someone has touched this thing. So now, the fear of God is also mean that after you have done something wrong, you start to cry or you start to be very, very, very sorrowful. Yeah, even though you may not shed tears, but you start to be very, you become very sad. Yeah, which is what we used to do, when we were small. You know, after we have done what is wrong, sometimes we would already be crying because we know that now we are in trouble. Yeah, we know that we will be punished. Yeah, and then we'll start to cry already. Yeah, we'll start crying already even before before our parents come to, to do the punishment. Yeah, so the fear of God also means that after you have done something wrong, you start to be very sad and sorrowful. That is, after you have offended God, the fear of God means that immediately you are very sad, you are very sorrowful, and you start to beg God for forgiveness and mercy. Yeah, I don't know if you get the point. So if you realize that you did what is wrong, and after you have done what is wrong in God's sight, you don't feel any sorrow, you don't feel bad, you just feel like normal, the way you've always feel, the way you always feel. Then you are backslidden. Yeah, or you are backslidden. Yeah, that's the way to say it. That shows that you are backslidden. Let me repeat myself again. If, let's say, for instance, with the state of your spiritual life now, you did something wrong that offends God, something wrong that is contrary to the Bible, and then after you have done that thing that is wrong, you don't feel remorseful, you don't feel sorrowful, you don't feel sad, you don't feel bad, and to the point where you now start to go to God and start to beg God for forgiveness, then it shows that you have already backslidden. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. So when that godly fear is no longer in your heart, you are backslidden. That is, you are falling away from God. Yeah. So make sure that you don't lose the fear of God. Make sure you don't lose the fear of God. In one of my posts on Facebook recently, I said the fear of God is LD. Yeah, the fear of God is LD. It is how you will have an healthy relationship with God. If you lose it, you are gone. Yeah, what I mean by you are gone means your salvation is gone. Yeah, so don't lose the fear of God. And anything that wants to take the fear of God from you, bite that thing and cast that thing away. May the Lord help you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I said lack of fear of God is a danger sign that you are losing faith, that you're backsliding. So let us look at Jeremiah. Chapter 2. Verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. Jeremiah 2:19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Yeah, I pray that our wickedness will not be what will correct us. Yeah, in Jesus' name. You know what it means? When your wickedness corrects you, that's a statement of judgment. Yeah. It says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee. So it means God allowed you to fall into sin, so that now you enter into the consequences of your sins. Yeah, God, I mean, it means God allowed a person to fall into sin, and now make that person suffer the consequences of this sin. Yeah, that is what it means when it says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Yeah, that is why I prayed that may you never get to the point where your wickedness will correct you, where your backslidings will correct you. That is, may you never backslide before you will learn that offending God is wrong. Yeah. May you not fall into sin before you will learn that committing sin is wrong. Yeah. May you learn it before you fall into sin. In Jesus' name. So let us read that verse further. It says, know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. Yeah, so God was saying that it is after they have committed the wickedness that his judgment will happen in their lives, or happen to them, that his judgment will happen to them. Yeah, and then through the judgment they would experience, they will now know that what they have done is an evil thing and a bitter thing in the sight of God. Yeah, and they will now know that they have been punished for forsaking the Lord, their God. I pray that you will not repent after you have suffered judgment from God. I pray that you will repent before you enter into judgment or into the consequences of your sins, in Jesus' name. So my prayer is that God will allow you to repent now, before his judgment comes upon Christians all over the world. Or maybe the judgment have already started. I pray that you will repent now and escape his judgment. In Jesus' name. Then it went for us to say, you know, that they will know that my fear is not in thee. You know, that you will know that my fear is not in thee. Fear the Lord God of hosts. So the judgment of God will make them to realize that they never had the fear of God. Yeah. So you can ask yourself, do I have the fear of God? Do I still have the fear of God? Yeah. I pray that you will have the fear of God. In Jesus' name. I have noticed something in many human beings. And what I have noticed is that people don't seem to take God seriously when God's chastisement and punishment are missing. Yeah. I'm going to take it again. I discovered that people tend to not take God serious when God's punishment and chastisement are not present. Yeah, and that attitude is a very dangerous attitude. Yeah, it shows how much you don't love God. If you are waiting to be punished, if you are waiting to be chastised by God before you take God serious, It's a sign that you don't love God. Yeah, because the fear of God confirms the love of God, or our fear of God. Is that how I should say it? Or our fear. Yeah, our fear of God, that's how I should say, will confirm our love for God. Yeah, so if you love God, you will not wait to be punished before you do what is right. Before you take God serious. before you take pleasing God, obeying God serious, before you take holy living, holiness serious, I believe you understand. So I realized that many people, they don't really care because God is not punishing them at the moment. Yeah, God is not judging them at the moment. Yeah, so they see that as the license to do whatever they want. Yeah, they see that as the license to sin, to offend God, because God is not coming to beat them up, or God is not appearing to, you know, to discipline them, to punish them, or to kill them. Yeah, so because God is not doing that, they felt they can live their lives the way they want. Yeah, I hope there are no such people here. Yeah, because if you are like that, you are in trouble. Yeah, you are in trouble because God will decide to continue to watch you. Yeah, and most times, according to the Bible, what will happen to such person is swift destruction. Swift destruction. Yeah, that is what happens to people who take God's judgment. Or let me say, who despise God's judgment. They feel like, what will God do? Yeah, God will do nothing to me. I can do whatever I want. I can think whatever I want to think. I can imagine whatever I want to imagine. Even though their thoughts and imaginations are evil, are sinful, are wrong, and yet they don't care. They still think those thoughts. They still have those imaginations. And then they still do sinful things. And then they feel like God cannot do anything. Yeah, what can God do? Yeah, so usually what happens to people like that is swift destruction. Swift destruction. Yeah, so God will continue to watch those people. He will continue to watch them. And you will not say anything. And then before you know it, you may just hear that such people, they are now dead. Yeah, before you know it, you may just hear that such people, they had an accident and they didn't survive, or this thing happened or that thing happened. And they are gone. Yeah. So it is a dangerous thing to despise God's judgment and to despise God's commandments, God's instructions, God's laws. It is a very dangerous thing. So God's commandment should increase the fear of God in us. I pray that you will be wise in Jesus' name. There's a scripture that's really back up what I've just said. Let me look for it. Yeah. It says, I think it's in Proverbs. Yeah, I found it. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 1. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He that being often reproved, yeah, that is someone who have, you know, who is being corrected, but yet refused to be corrected. It says shall suddenly be destroyed. Yeah, I think I have shared this verse with all of you before. Yeah, let us look at it. In New Living Translation, Proverbs 29, verse 1. Whoever stubbornly refuses to accept criticism. Yeah, will suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery. Yeah, the word criticism here is in this context is correction. Yeah, yeah. Is correction. So it says that person will be destroyed, will suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery. Yeah, because King James Version says hardeneth his neck. Yeah, that person hardens his neck. You know, it's like you're being told to turn your neck to the, you know, to the right side, and then you refuse. Yeah, it's more like someone is telling you, look this way, and then you're saying, no, I'm not looking that way. Yeah, or stop doing this thing, but you're saying, no, I'm not going to stop. Yeah, start doing this, and then you're saying, no, I'm not going to start. I don't want to do it. Yeah, so it is about being corrected. Yeah, so if all the time you are being corrected by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit, you keep refusing to be corrected, the Bible says that you will suddenly be destroyed. You will suddenly be destroyed. And the statement of the part that says the destruction will be without remedy. Yeah, without or NLT says beyond recovery. Yeah. I pray such thing will not happen to you. Such destruction will not happen to you. You know, sometimes people have asked me to pray for some sick persons. And then immediately I set my heart or set my mind to start to pray for that person. What I would hear in my spirit is, don't bother to pray. This person is going to die. Yeah. Sometimes, if I'm dealing with someone, I mean, if the person who brought the request, if it's someone that is spiritually matured, I'll just tell the person, I would say, the Lord said this person would die. So, I'm not praying for the person. Yeah, because the person is being judged already. Yeah, but if it is someone that is not mature spiritually, I wouldn't say anything. I'll just say, okay, I will pray. Yeah. But the judgment is already set. Yeah. So let us fear God. Yeah. There are some people that have been judged, and that judgment is set. So when God's judgment is set, that is it. It means there is no reversal of it. Yeah, and God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't care who you are. Yeah, and he doesn't even care what title you carry. And he doesn't even care whatever you have done for him before. Yeah, inasmuch as he tried correcting you several times and you refused, then the time will come where his judgment on you will be set. And once the judgment is sent, there's no reversal. So that's the meaning of that person will be suddenly destroyed without remedy or beyond recovery. So those people that I was asked to pray for, they have been judged by God, and that judgment is sent. Yeah, so that is why, I was told to never pray for them. Yeah, because if I try to pray for them, I may also be judged in the process. That is how strong God's judgment is. Yeah, so that is why, as a minister of God, don't just rush to pray for people or to lay hands on people, because they may be under God's judgment. Yeah, those people may be under God's judgment. Yeah, and if you as a minister is so insensitive in your spirit, you may partake from that judgment too. So that is why, before you pray for anyone, be in the spirit and pray with your spirit. Pray from your spirit. Yeah. So when you are in the spirit, you will get whatever warning or information that the Holy Spirit has to give to you concerning the person you are praying for. May the Lord help you to fear him in Jesus' name. Yeah, don't wait for a problem to happen So some people's relationship with God is so shallow. I hope your relationship with God is not shallow. It's so shallow that they use the physical things, earthly things happening around them, to determine how they should walk with God. Don't try that. Yeah. Let me give you an example. People like that, I mean, people who use these physical things, physical situations, physical circumstances, who uses that to determine how they, you know, how they should walk with God, usually manifest this type of attitude. If everything is going well, let's say they check their bank accounts, there's enough money there, nobody is giving them any trouble, they are not being provoked by anyone, they are in a very good mood, they are very happy. So they believe, because everything seems to be going fine and going well, so they just believe that. That means God is okay with me. That means God is happy with me. There's no problem. Everything is fine. I could sleep and wake up in peace. I'm not feeling any sickness or any pain in my body. I'm so healthy. I'm so good. I'm so calm. Wow. That's great. That means God is also happy with me. So they are using the state of things around them to judge to determine how God feels towards them. Yeah, and that is very wrong and very foolish. Yeah, so now, those people, when things now start to go wrong, maybe now they have health challenge, they have problem in their finances, and then maybe they have emotional issues with some family members, or some relatives, or some neighbors or friends, then they start to think, oh, I think God is not happy with me. That is why everything seems to be going wrong. And then they start to say, oh, God, please tell me what I have done wrong. Wow, why are you allowing me to suffer like this? God, please, what have I done wrong? And then it is that time they want to now repent. That is stupidity. And that is foolishness. That doesn't make sense. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, that's the wrong way to walk with God. The truth is that many people are so comfortable because things seems to be going well with them physically. Many of them have already been judged by God. Yeah, God is very angry with many of them. And God would even kill them if he had the chance. Yeah. Or if he chose to. Yeah. So, let us really Yeah, God. Yeah. It is not when problems start to happen in your life that you now start to think, maybe I've done something wrong. Yeah, when you have always done something wrong. Yeah, because the people in that category, they don't even study the Bible. They don't even know what the will of God is, what the will of God for their lives is. They don't even know the commandments of God and of Jesus. Yeah, so they have always, you know, they've always been living in errors. They've always been living in sin. Yeah, and they have been comfortable living in sin. Yeah, and they were so happy doing that. Then when a problem now appeared in their lives, or problems start to happen in their lives, that is when now they want to repent, or they want to find out what they have been doing wrong. When they have been doing so many wrongs or so many wrong things, but because there's no fear of God in them, they don't even care. Yeah, they didn't even care. Yeah, so be careful that you don't follow the path of such Christians. I don't even think they are Christians. They don't follow the path of such people. Yeah, because the way God is going to judge people now, He will not even give them any sign that He is going to end their lives. Yeah, go write it down. Yeah, if you can call it a prophecy, or if you want to call it a prophecy, call it a prophecy. Go and write it down. And what you are going to write down is that God's judgment shall start to happen to so-called Christians without any warning, without any warning sign. Yeah, that many Christians all over the world will be judged without being previously warned by God. And the reason is because they have been warned several times. They've been warned several times, or countless times. So now the judgment of God will be very swift. And they will not even know when it's coming. They will just perish like that. Their lives would, you know, would be terminated so fast, so quickly. And then you'll be like, what? That man, that very gentle and quiet and a nice brother, have died. How? Yeah, how come we didn't know anything about it? How come God didn't show anyone that he was going to die? How come he just died suddenly? That is what is going to happen. People will just die. And it will be so fast. And it will be without any warning sign. Yeah. So be careful how you walk with God. May the Lord help you to live right in His sight. May the Lord help you to live in the fear of Him, in Jesus' name. There are still many verses on the fear of God, but since our focus is back, our focus is backsliding, so I'll stop here. Point number two that we'll be moving to. Point number two is God's promises of mercy to those who return to Him. God's promises of mercy to those who return to Him. So that is point number two. Point number one, as I said earlier, we have been dealing with point number one now for many weeks. Point number one was danger signs that lead to losing faith or losing your salvation. So now we are in point number two, and this point number two doesn't really have much, doesn't have much on that. Yeah, but because of time, I'll just look at a scripture under this point number two. Point number two, once again, is God's promises of mercy to those who return to Him. That is, those who have fallen or those who have backslidden and now they are coming back to Him. There's a promise of mercy. So, before we round off, let us look at Second Chronicles chapter 30, verse 9. Second Chronicles 30, verse 9. 30, verse 9. For if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away His face from you if you return unto Him. Yeah. Can you see that? If ye return unto Him. It says, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away His face from you if ye return unto Him. So that is the condition. If you return unto Him, then you will get or partake of His mercy. He will show you mercy. Yeah, in fact, here it says that those Israelites that were taken captive, God said He will make their captors or the people who captured them to be merciful or to be compassionate toward them and release them to go back to dwell in their land. Yeah, that is if they turn again to the Lord. Yeah, so if you will turn to the Lord, if you will return to Him, He is so merciful and He's going to receive you unto Himself, and He will show you mercy and He will help you. Yeah. So the question is, are you returning to the Lord, especially in those areas where you have turned away from the Lord? Are you going to now return to Him? are you going to now seek Him and repent and fear Him and love Him and please Him? If you are going to really do that, then there is mercy waiting for you. Yeah, let us stop deceiving ourselves by asking for mercy that will not come. You know, many people ask for mercy that will never come to them. Yeah, because the kingdom of God is a system that operates by certain standards and laws. Yeah. So the law is that you return to God and He will show you mercy. Yeah. So stop asking for mercy while you are still in your vomit, while you are still in your filthiness, in your debt. Yeah, while you're still in pollution, in lust, in pride, in darkness, in sin. Stop asking for mercy from there, because you will never get mercy. It is not a curse. It is the word of God. So any pastor that is telling you to pray for mercy while you have not repented, that pastor doesn't know God or doesn't know the scriptures. Yeah. So, follow God's standard and you will receive it. You will receive God's mercy. Follow God's laws. Follow God's will. And you will receive His mercy. But then, refuse to do that, and you will receive no mercy. Refuse to repent, and you will get no mercy. Yeah, refuse to obey, you will get no mercy. Yeah, refuse to serve Him, and you will get no mercy. Yeah, so that isn't. We'll talk more on this next Tuesday. So we're going to stop here now. And then before we stop, you can also see from that verse that when God is happy with you, that is when people also will be happy with you. Or maybe I should not put it like that. That is when people also will have compassion on you and help you. When God is happy with you. Yeah. So if you want your destiny helpers to remember you and to locate you and to find you and to help you, then make sure that God is happy with you. Make sure that you have returned back to God in wherever area you have backslidden. Yeah, make sure that you have amended with the Lord. Yeah, I was saying that God being in good times with you will make people to also show you compassion and help you. Yeah, so if you want your destiny helpers to find you, to locate you, and to be compassionate toward you and favor you and then help you. Then make sure that you have no issue with God. Make sure that you have amended your ways with God. Make sure that you have repented where necessary and you have returned back to God from your backsliding state. Yeah. Because if you have not really gotten your ways right with God, your helpers are not likely to help you. In fact, the person that will probably make you rich may be living very close to your house. The person that will probably help you to become a millionaire or billionaire may be living very close to your house, maybe in the same street with you. Yeah, and you may not know. Yeah, because God have not activated that favor, because you have not amended your relationship with Him. I don't know if you get my point. Yeah, so to get favor from men is to first of all win the heart of God. Yeah, is to first of all please God. And of course love God. I pray that the Lord will help you to obey these scriptures in Jesus' name. If you have any questions, you can ask on the Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you're so faithful. Thank you for this moment you have given us to use, to share your word, to learn from your scriptures. And we are grateful for all that we have learned tonight. I ask that you help everyone here to be obedient to your truth and to your corrections in Jesus' name. I pray that you soften every hardened heart in this place. Make every hardened heart soft right now in Jesus' name. Help us to be wise enough to fear you at all times in Jesus' name. Help us to come out of the path of foolishness that does not lead to eternal life and that does not lead to success and greatness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.